Man, it's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be in the house. My wife made fun of me yesterday. I'm going to get her a little bit. I said, hey, baby, I want to do a slideshow next week. And she says, oh, my gosh, you're so old school. She said, a slideshow, really? Why are you laughing hard, Cindy? So, anyway, we're going to share about our, we're going to do a video next week and, of our trip to Honduras and share some things next week. And, cause we're going back in September and we want to give you guys the opportunity to go. And, you know, it's, man, it's right down there. God's using Marty and a lot of people down there in a tremendous way. And, I know in our lives we're supposed to be connected to it, and I believe this house will be too. So we're going to share and just release some stuff next week about that. I'll probably be out of Psalm 67 next week if you want to study that this week and let the Lord start speaking to you. But read the Passion Translation; it'll wreck you on that. But we'll be doing that next Sunday. I'm going to take a break from Genesis 41. I may pick back up in it on Wednesday night because we've still got a lot we want to do in Genesis 41 and speaking of Joseph and the pattern that is set before us with Joseph. But I wanted to just share and release some things that God spoke to me this past week. And I hope I can challenge you with it as the Lord challenged me with it. Great to have Anderson with us today. Anderson's a young man that finished his time at the Blake House in right after the first of the year, and he came back tonight. He's living in Memphis right now and doing really well, and is coming back for their having a graduation ceremony this afternoon. So you know, some people that God connects you with as they come through, and I always have a few guys that I kind of connect with, and me and Anderson really connected while he was in the Blake House. So I'm thankful for that opportunity and that time. And also, it's great to have him with us today. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25. I don't want to pound you with an hour and a half of teaching. I know I got y'all with that a couple weeks ago, so I'm not going to do that. It's a beautiful day, and I want y'all to go out and enjoy the day today. I want you to go out and play with your kids and just walk in the beauty of His creation and just enjoy Him. I think He gives us days like today to just enjoy His beauty. The rain is awesome, and we appreciate the rain, although we have had our fair share, but just thankful for just the beauty of the day today. So I'll try not to go too long. In our quest, I'm going to read a few notes that I wrote last night, or yesterday afternoon. In our quest for a deeper walk and a deeper revelation, we often overlook the purest things of the gospel. In our quest for a deeper, and I've got italics on that, for a deeper walk and deeper revelation, I think we often overlook the purest things of the gospel. And please, I'm trying to really find the balance in my life. James did a wonderful job teaching Wednesday night on Mary and Martha. If you've not listened to the podcast, go back and listen to the podcast on Wednesday night. He did a really, really good job on looking at the differences in Mary and Martha and not throwing Martha under the bus, because we've done that for years, and I think wrongly so. I've done that for years, and it's an inferior thing. And we take great pride in the fact that, man, I'm just pursuing after God. I am pressing in, and I'm wanting to go to deep places and see the mysteries of the kingdom and have Him open gates for me that I can enter through. And it's not a selfish thing. It's not a prideful thing. It's not a greedy thing. It's a thing that I feel like in order to lead people, I have to go there. And how can I lead you if I don't go there? How can I bring truth and revelation in this house? You know, Seth, how can I help lead and establish you and if I'm not going there myself? And so there's truth and there's value to all of that. But what we tend to do is we tend to come in and overlook the purest things of the gospel in our pursuit for deeper revelation and deeper understanding and a deeper walk. This past week, as we were down in Honduras, we met some really, really wonderful people, some missionaries that we were, we just came alongside and worked with them. And Scott's been down several times, so he knows exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, and God really connected us with some of these guys. I mean, like big time. I mean, it's got, man, there's this one cat down there that's in ministry. And man, I just love this guy. We're already, me and him and Lori are already communicating back and forth a bunch since we've been back and all this. And I can't wait to get hooked up with him again. You know, we get down there and we begin to see what all God's doing through these guys, and we begin to, talk and all that, and they ask us, you know, they say, oh man, what, you know, I said something about podcasts, and they said, well, you know, who do you listen to, and what kind of music you listen to, and all that, and so I threw out all my, you know, deep wells. You know, I'm all about Bethel, and I'm all about Mosaic, and I'm all about Elevation, and I'm all about Hope Chapel, and I believe that all of these places are deep wells. And I'm like, man, that's who I listen to, man. And, you know, you listen to Bill Johnson and the culture they've created and Erwin McManus and you know, and Damon Thompson or Stephen Furtick or whoever that's this, you know, deep well that you're like, man, I'm these guys are pouring into me and I'm just growing by leaps and bounds and all of that stuff. And, they were oblivious to these guys. Did not have a clue. But yet they had gone in, most of them after the hurricane in 99 that devastated the country, came in, and God so captured their heart that they absolutely gave their life to a people of a country. And said, I'm going to serve these people with the love of the kingdom. And I'm going to alter the trajectory of their lives through the love of Yahweh. And God asked me a question, Jess. He said, which is deeper? Which is deeper? All your deep revelation that you get from Papa Bill? All the pressing in deep places of worship. I mean, we went there Friday night down in Augusta with the kids. I mean, it was phenomenal for the youth that went. It was just tremendous, tremendous, tremendous evening with the Lord. I mean, it was just crazy pandemonium worship and presence. And so we're like, man, I'm pressing into the deep places. And God asked me, He said, which is deeper? And Brett, I could not say. And I wasn't ashamed of where I was, but I saw the purity of the gospel and the fact that Mark and his ministry built 120 houses a year for people that are in a grave of poverty and hopelessness and despair. And there's something pure about that and something way deeper than that, in that, than me coming in and preaching for an hour and a half on the types of Genesis 41. Although there's value in the types of Genesis 41, and it will change your trajectory to do more and be more. But I can't say it's superior. And so I'm going to look at some scripture. And I want us to begin to assess our lives as a community of believers. And please hear me when I say this. You do not have to go to Honduras, Guatemala, Philippines, you fill in the blank, to be walking in this, what we're talking about. But you also have to go through life with eyes wide open and look at what's in front of you and minister to what's in front of you. You got a chance to do that Thursday night in Tallapoosa, Georgia. Some of you might have a chance to do that this afternoon at a gas station. Chris, you had the opportunity to do it recently on a wild pig hunt down in Tallahassee, Florida. Somewhere close to Tallahassee. Lakeland. Yeah, close enough. See, that was as deep as my dissertation on Isaiah 61 and 62. And I want us to understand that God saves us, God fills us, God equips us, not just to get us to heaven. Absolutely, that has nothing to do about us getting to heaven. The filling and the equipping, the saving does. And we come in and we let the narcissism of our society bleed over into our lives to where it's all about me, and it's all about how can I be blessed. And it's all about how can I flourish? How can I flower? I want to be a flower in the wilderness. Do y'all know what? Everything's about to start blooming. Y'all know what the purpose of the flowers are? To produce fruit. God didn't create flowers just to look pretty. He created them to produce fruit. And I think a lot of times that the American church, and I say the American church because it's the only church I know, gets caught up in the fact that I'm a flower and I want to bloom so beautiful that the world can see God in the beauty that I hold. And God said, that's awesome, but they're really going to see my beauty and the love that you have for them, and the love that you show them, and the love that you release into their life. Because I'll be honest with you, brother, some of these kids like India and some of them that you have a big impact on, they really don't care if your doctrine's correct or not. That's way on down the line. I want you to have correct doctrine. I want God to bring you into place. One thing I found about my doctrine is it shifts and changes a lot. I can take my Scofield King James and I can show you many, 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 many scratched out places where I was like, ooh, whoopsie. But love never changes. The purity of love never changes. The release of that, the faith in that never changes. Let's read this text. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. If you have a Passion Translation, pull it out. It's good in the King James too. But I just like some of the wording in this, and I want to take just a few minutes and I want to release this to you guys, and then we're going to go and just have an awesome evening or afternoon just enjoying the Lord. We're going to start in verse 31. Everybody there? Everybody there? Amen. Yes, Brother Sid. Awesome. Yes. Verse 31, when the Son of Man appears in His majestic glory, with all His angels by His side, He will take His seat on His throne of splendor. And all the nations will be gathered together before Him. And like a shepherd who separates the sheep from the goats, He will separate all the people. The sheep He will put on His right side and the goats on His left. Now this is a separation that's taking place, not in heaven, but here on earth. This is not the great white throne judgment. You'll notice that there are no recorded books that are being opened. There are no names written here and deeds written there and all of this stuff. But I don't want to get too, I don't understand all of this, but I can see some things in this. Some people say that's when the Lord returns back to the earth and that's when this is going to happen. And this is talking about the Lord dealing with the nations and the way that they took care of the Jewish remnant. Perhaps that's true. But I also believe and know that it's very applicable today. I also believe and know that Jesus is sitting on a throne here on earth right now. And it's a throne of glory, it's a throne of splendor. in the throne a few weeks ago. We were just entered into this tremendous place of worship in this house, and we began to talk about the throne of God, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, right now, I am sitting on the throne of your praises. Right now, I'm sitting on the throne of your love. Right now, I'm sitting on the throne of your exaltation of me. And right now, if I come in and I make my life, I give it to Him, and I say, Lord, here I am, use me, here I am, send me, here I am, wed me, here I am, do all of these things in me and through me, that is a throne that He can sit on. That's a throne He can sit on. Capture my heart with your love so it is for everybody, for everywhere. And that's a throne that He can sit on. And so I believe this is very applicable to us today as well. It may be a future event. It may be a future event. But right now I know that this is, it's taking place in our life and in the world, in the kingdom. And He says He separates those. I believe that we're going to see more of a dividing, and I don't mean divisive dividing, but I mean that God is going to come in, and He's going to capture people that desire Him to capture them. I believe He's going to allow people to come into a place of inheritance that He has for them. I believe that there are going to be a people that God is going to find great joy and pleasure in them and their life, and His interaction with them is going to reflect accordingly. I see it. I can sit back. I can see it right now with my eyes. I can sit back and see it. And so I want us to be found in the place of His good pleasure. I want us to be found in the place of Him looking and it says, you have a special place in my Father's heart. I want that to be us. I want that to be me. I want that to be my family. I want it to be this church family. And so He comes in and He said, the sheep He will put on His right side and the goats on His left. Then the king will turn to those on His right and say, you have a special place in my Father's heart. Whoo, son. Is that not better than any kind of blessings we have? Material stuff? For the Father to look at us, Jesus to look at us and say, you've got a special place in my Father's heart. I want to be His favorite. But the thing about it is, I want you to be His favorite too. You know, people say, which one of your grandkids is your favorite? Whichever one's in front of me. That's my favorite. And if there's one right there, she's my favorite. And if there's five right there, they're all my favorite, but whichever one's the closest to me, that's the one I can get my hands on. That's the one I can get my, just wrap up and interact with. And so He comes in and He says, this is Jesus. He said, you have a special place in my Father's heart. Come and experience the full inheritance of the kingdom realm that has been destined for you from before the foundation of the world. It's verse 34. Come and experience the full inheritance. It's what I want to walk in, guys. It's what I want to walk in. I don't care about building a ministry. I don't care about building a name. I don't care about building a mega church. I don't care about building this grand thing that's going to wow the world. I want to walk in His full inheritance. I want to walk in His full inheritance. And the cool thing about it is that it's been destined for you from before the foundation of the world. And then He comes in verse 35. Is everybody with me? When you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you found me thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I had no place to stay, you invited me in. And when I was poorly clothed, you covered me. When I was sick, you tenderly cared for me. The King James just simply says, when I was sick, you visited me. I find it very interesting in that phrase. I had to salah on that for a little bit. As I was meditating on this and pondering over this, He didn't say, when I was sick, you healed me. He just said, when I was sick, you tenderly cared for me. Guys, this is not talking about when we have arrived. This is talking about the simple faith of children. The simple faith of every one of us where we're at. You say, brother, I don't have... We were in the hospital last Sunday afternoon, and we went to the poor hospital, you know, where people get on a bus and ride for 3 or 4 hours to have a baby. I can't imagine riding 3 or 4 hours on a bus. Some of them even set up to 6 hours on a bus to have a baby, because you ain't going to leave until you go into labor, and I can't imagine starting to have contractions and then go hop on the bus for a six-hour bus ride, you know? But we were in there and we were praying for these mamas and praying for these new babies, newborn babies, and then we went into the part of the hospital where they had been doing all the brain surgeries, and there was so many kids in there they've been doing brain surgeries in. And they were 6 to a room. And no AC. There were kids and they had a gauze bandage on their head and a shunt sticking out the back of their neck. You know, I mean, you're sitting there looking at the shunt coming out the back of their neck, and the window's open, and you know, we're coming in, and as we were praying for these kids and these families and all that, I heard somebody say, and I think it was a person, but it might have been the Holy Spirit, and they said, I have nothing to give you but Jesus. I have nothing to give you but Jesus. I have nothing to give you but Jesus. And KK and Caroline can give that. Sydney Hannah can give that. Carter can give that. They can give that. We think one day I'm going to be a kingdom man. One day I'm going to be a kingdom woman. One day I'm going to walk in. After I go through this process of deep revelation, then when I get through that one gate, Brent, that's when I can do the ministry. I love the fact in here. He said, James, he simply said, when I was sick, you visited me. I thought, man, I'm sitting here thinking, all right, Lord, let's step a game up. We got to lay hands and the sick's going to recover. And I know all these promises in the Word and all of this stuff. He said, man, you visited me and you tenderly cared for me. Oh, wow. So it's for all of us. It is for all of us. It is at every level, whatever stage you are in this journey, it is for you. You don't have to be deep to release love, although you have to be pure. And I get back to my original question, which is deeper? Which is deeper? So then he comes in this text. When I was poorly clothed, you covered me. When I was sick, you tenderly cared for me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. Then the godly will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty and give you food and something to drink? When did we see you with no place to stay and invite you in? When did we see you poorly clothed and cover you? When did we see you sick and tenderly care for you, or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, don't you know? When you cared for one of the least important of these, my little ones, my true brothers and sisters, you demonstrated love for me. I found out a lot about the purity of these godly ones, the ones that have a special place in my Father's heart, the ones he calls sheep. In verses 37 through 39, because they're coming in and saying, Lord, I don't remember, I never did that to you. They did not have the revelation that if they were doing it to the poor, they were doing it to him. They didn't have the revelation and the understanding that if I do it to this one, it's as if, no, I am doing it to Christ. They didn't have that revelation, so that tells me they weren't doing it for a reward and they weren't doing it out of duty. They were doing it because of the love that God had captured their heart with and the need that was in front of them. A lot of times we'll do this. because we believe what the Word says, and we believe we'll get a reward, and God, it'll redeem our finances and all of that stuff, and I believe all of those things, and I do this, but the reason that I do this is not for the reward. The reason I do this is because it's the heart of God. You'll come to CCC on Thursday night, because that, man, that's my duty. I mean, I'm part of Victory, and it's our night, and I want to step up. I want to be a, you know, a good part of the church and all of that stuff and everything. And we'll do it because we'll know we'll get a reward from God. And God says, man, I want you to serve not out of revelation, but I want you to serve out of love. Let me repeat that. I want you to serve not out of revelation, but I want you to serve out of love. I want you to minister not out of revelation, but I want you to minister out of love. I want you to preach not out of revelation, but I want you to preach out of love. Guys, if our foundation for preaching and teaching and ministering, whatever platform it is, if it's out of revelation and not out of love, we're missing the heart of God. I'll declare that today, and I believe that. More than anything, I'm not God. I just let everything I do be out of love. Not out of revelation. Not out of revelation. And the king will answer them, don't you know when you cared for one of the least important of these, my little ones, my true brothers and sisters, you demonstrated love for me. Then to those on his left, the king will say, leave me. For you are under the curse of eternal fire that has been destined for the devil and all his demons. For when you saw me hungry, you refused to give me food. And when you saw me thirsty, you refused to give me something to drink. I had no place to stay, and you refused to take me in as your guest. When you saw me poorly clothed, you closed your hearts and would not cover me. When you saw that I was sick, you didn't lift a finger to help me. And when I was in prison, you never came to visit me. And then those on his left will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty and not give you food and something to drink? When did we see you homeless or poorly clothed? When did we see you sick and not help you or in prison and not visit you? From their response, when did we see you hungry or thirsty and not give you food or something to drink? That's telling me they were pretty good at ministering to the Lord. Does anybody else read that in there? I do, Brett. I think they were good at ministering to the Lord. I think, boy, if there was a need, man, I'm on it. There's a need in church, man, I'm going to work, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to step in. But if we don't have a heart for that, we can't marry ourselves to that. And if we don't marry ourselves to that, we can't redeem that. From my language, from where God's had us lately. I believe I'm supposed to marry myself to that, but I can't marry myself, truly marry myself to that unless I love that. Unless I love that. I can't redeem Waco, Georgia if I despise Waco, Georgia. I can't redeem Bremen if I don't like Bremen. I can't redeem Tallapoosa if I don't like Tallapoosa. I can't redeem West Georgia. Let's lump it all together. I can't redeem West Georgia if I don't love West Georgia. You say, well, I'll marry myself to it, but I ain't going to like it. You aren't really married to it. You're not really married to it. Some of y'all need to remarry yourself to some things that maybe your love's gone. You need to come in and remarry yourself to it. Instead of despising Leah, I was kind of wanting to preach this a couple weeks ago. Instead of despising Leah and her seed, because you got tricked into it. I've been there with ministry before. I've had moments in my life. This is no lie, Nick. I've had moments in my life where I've said, God, why'd you call me to preach? My life would be a lot simpler if you hadn't called me to preach. And you know what I was doing? I was despising Leah and the seed of Leah. And God said, there's greatness that can come out of Leah. It's okay to love and pursue Rachel. love and pursue Leah as well. And give your heart to her and marry yourself to her. Because when you love her and marry yourself to her, all 12 tribes are blessed. Not just two. Not just two. Not just two. Not just Joseph and his seed and Benjamin and his seed. I'm pretty sure some powerful things come out of the tribe of Judah. And I believe that's a shift that we need to make, guys. Y'all hear me? I'll teach on this when I get a little bit of time. I'm not at liberty this morning, but I'll teach on this when I get a little bit of time. And it's falling back in love with Leah, or maybe falling in love with Leah from the start, and marrying ourselves to her. Instead of this is the thing that God tricked me with. We look at that when people disappoint us. We're like, God, you tricked me by hooking me up with them. And we equate God to Laban. Instead of saying, man, they're a gift in my life. They're not an add-on. Y'all not a plus one. Okay? And we start loving it and start marrying ourselves to it. And when we do that, you know what it does? Then it gives us the capacity for God to redeem it through us. All right, I'm closing up with this. I believe these people had done a good job of maybe perhaps ministering to the Lord, but they failed miserably in ministering to everything else. Verse 43, I'm going to reread this. Jesus said, I had no place to stay and you refused to take me in as your guest. When you saw me poorly clothed, you closed your hearts and would not cover me. When you saw that I was sick, you did not lift a finger to help me. And when I was in prison, you never came to visit me. And then those on his left will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty and not give you food and something to drink? When did we see you homeless or poorly clothed? When would we see you sick and not help you or in prison and not visit you? And then he will answer them, don't you know? When you refuse to help one of the least important among these, my little ones, my true brothers and sisters, you refused to help and honor me. And they will depart from his presence. But the godly and beloved sheep will enter into eternal bliss. A few weeks ago, the Lord gave us a word about the storehouses as a body. And that word that he gave us was in, this is in reference to Genesis 41. And it's the vision that Joseph, or the interpretation of the dream that Pharaoh had and the vision that Joseph had on the interpretation of that. And it was the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine and how Joseph was going to turn cities into storehouses. And it was going to preserve life. That's what the Lord said. Says, I put you here to preserve life. And the word that the Lord gave us, if you weren't here, was that not only were they storehouses, a place of being just that, but they were also a point of distribution. And I said that I believe that Father God is going to require, that's the wording he used, that Father God is going to require that in 2019 we will be a point of distribution. Not just a storehouse. That wasn't necessarily collectively, that was two individuals that comprised the collective whole. And when God said that He will require that we become that point of distribution, that wasn't if you want to be in this cool place with me, or if you want to go deeper with me. That was basically a requirement that if you want to be in near proximity to me and be my son. And then he went on to say, if you choose not to or if you don't, two things are going to happen. Number one, the inflow will stop. The inflow will stop. Some of y'all wondering why you're in a dry place in your life. It's because you stopped or never became a point of distribution. You stopped, either stopped or have never become a point of distribution. So God said the inflow will stop. And number two, the grain that is stored in there will begin to rot. The hay in my barns have a 2-year shelf life. 2-year shelf life. I can use them for 2 winters. After that, the seed rots, the cows won't eat it, it is of no nutritional value. Oh, I can put it out there for them. And it might even be filler, but it will not have the protein and the nutritional value that it needs. In order for us to feed a starving world, in order for us to give them something that is going to be of nutritional value to them, it better be something that is under its expiration date. You said, there ain't no expiration date in the kingdom. I believe there is. I believe there is. I believe you can ask King Saul and there was an expiration date. I believe you can look out throughout the Word, and I believe there's an expiration date. And I want you so badly to be that point of distribution in 2019. Because number one, I want you to love this and redeem this and release kingdom into this so that God will continue to pour into you, continue to fill you up, continue to release into your life. Several years ago, God gave me a mandate concerning a young lady. She's not here today. Periodically, she'll show up. Very random. She'll just show up. And I never know what state she's going to be in when she shows up. But it doesn't matter. Because years ago, God gave me a mandate, and that mandate was simple, and it was just simply, love that girl. I want you to love her no matter what. I want you to love her no matter what she looks like. I want you to love her no matter what's going on with this stuff. I want you to love her no matter how bad she screwed things up. And every time she comes in, I want you to lavish my love on her. That was the mandate. So me and Lori have tried to do that. And it's genuine and it's pure and it's heartfelt. But I want to be like that for everybody. That's where God's wanting to shift me. That's where God's wanting to shift us. That it's not a where you been, how you doing, give me a progress report. And then if I deem you worthy of my love, then I'll release my love into you. Just love her. Just love her. Just love them. Just love them. That's it. It's that simple. It's that simple. The other stuff can go along with it. You know, as these girls need, Eric, they just need the love of a father. They just need the love of a father, man. You ain't got to have all the answers. Because you ain't got them. I ain't got them. You ain't got them, girls. I'm further along than where I was, but I'm still kind of jacked up. I've watched growth in this brother, but he's still kind of jacked up. And I mean that with the utmost love. I love you, brother. But that's what they need more than anything is the love of my daughters don't expect me to be perfect and to get it right, but you know what they long for more than anything? The love of a father. Whew. That's what the world wants. That's what the world's crying out for. That's what those little girls in Honduras and the little boys in Honduras, Brett, we didn't care. We didn't bring bags of candy and toys. We didn't give any of that. You know, perhaps the purest thing I did on the whole trip, perhaps the purest thing that I did was play Ring Around the Roses on a dusty, dusty, dusty dirt road in the middle of the hills with a bunch of little kids. There, we just out there just bounce. I mean, it was a sight to see. That's all they wanted. That's all they wanted. It's the love of somebody. They felt the love of the Father in that. It wasn't Santa Claus that they were feeling. Because we did not come bearing gifts. We came bearing Him. That's what I have to offer this world. That's what you have to offer this world. That's what you have to offer this world. Brother, that's what you have to offer Memphis, Tennessee. It's the pure love of the Father. Pure love of the Father. Man, let's just stand to our feet. The next chapter, you know what Mary does? She breaks a box of ointment over Jesus and anoints Him and loves on Him and lavishes on Him. And the disciples, now think, this is on the heels. I'm not saying they were terrible guys. Judas had ulterior motives. But the other guys, like, Jesus, you just talked to us about ministering to the poor. And so we could have done a lot of ministry to the poor. We could have fed 300 or 500 or done all this. And she done pouring out all on you. You know how you get this balance right? What's in front of you? This afternoon, when you're out walking in this or doing whatever you're doing, man, if you go to Sweetwater or whatever you do this afternoon, love on Him and minister to Him. Love on her and minister to her. But next week, when you have opportunity to love and pour into all of these other that we just talked about, then do that. And you know what you'll find? The pleasure of the Father. Don't do it from a place of lack. Because I've used this excuse a gazillion times. There's only so much of me to go around. I only have so many resources. God says, man, just release what I tell you to release. And I'll provide the increase. I'll provide the increase. Quit doing the math. Quit doing the math. To say, what's in front of me? What's in front of me? Father God, we come to You and we thank You for the simplicity and the purity of the gospel. When Mary broke the box and ministered to You, You made a statement that was profound, and You said, wherever this gospel is preached, You said that love was the gospel. That loving You was the gospel. Loving the world was the gospel. God, let it be the purity of our gospel. It's the love we have for each other, the love we have for this world. And Father, I pray that You just stir and move and bless and challenge the people that are here this morning. Let us leave this place with a heightened sense of awareness. And let us be the finger of God this week. And let us touch this world and touch everyone around us. Let that be our gospel. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I ask these things. And in His name I place all of my hope today. Amen. Amen. You guys have an awesome evening.